Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
And today we're going to talk about something in the art world.
Uh-huh.
It's called miniature art. Miniature art. That's a difficult word to pronounce there, but it's talking about things that are actually very small, and people use miniature art to express themselves in different ways.
And we're talking about a very specific type of miniature art. They're actually portraits of people, little paintings that are done that are really, really small that can kind of fit into the palm of your hand. They used to be very popular back in history before we had the camera. We had to know what people looked like, so instead of taking a photograph, they would actually hire artists to paint someone's portrait.
That's right, and of course, miniature art comes in different forms, of course, which we'll talk about as our lesson continues. So let's get small today. Let's shrink things down to size. Let's read the entire content of our lesson for today right now. Miniatures may seem to be quaint and of small importance at first glance, but the art style has both historical significance and unique aesthetic value. Before the invention of photography, accurate portraits on a small scale were essential as forms of identification, much like today's photo IDs. Many wealthy families would exchange portrait miniatures of their sons and daughters during the arrangement of marriage. Artists who could work small were ever in demand, especially from book printers who wanted to make their volumes precious with exquisite illustrations. While the flashbulbs of cameras dimmed much of the luster of miniature art, there are plenty of little paintings, bite-sized models, and super small statues that still fascinate many enthusiasts. A typical definition of this kind of artwork is any fine art that is no greater than 1/6 its natural size. Despite requiring less material, these works can take longer to produce than their regular-sized inspirations. It takes a great amount of skill and patience to create quality miniature art. The technique of putting so much delicate detail in such a small space is what makes miniatures of abundant wonder and value. There are a number of enthralling miniatures museums around the world. At the Art Institute of Chicago, the Thorne Miniature Rooms delight visitors with recreations of European and American home interiors from the 13th century to the 1930s. In Taipei, the Miniatures Museum of Taiwan opened in 1997, the first of its kind in Asia. With over 200 items on display, which include dollhouses and room boxes, it is a great place to enjoy the magnificent beauty in some tiny treasures. If you enjoy beautiful homes and everyday objects in the real world, why not give the dazzling world of miniatures a try?
So a miniature can be a very small-sized a replica of something that usually is seen much larger. It could be a portrait of someone the size of the palm of your hand. My grandfather made me a miniature house. It was a dollhouse.
Cool.
And my mother was able to sew very, very tiny doll's clothing. That's sort of a miniature-sized outfit that she would put together. So we're going to talk about why these are so popular even today.
Indeed. So we're talking about fine arts in the palm of your hand. The palm, of course, is the flat part of your hand there when you look at your hand. Into the palm of your hand. It's facing you. That's your palm there. That's where you keep your change in the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we're talking about miniatures here. Miniature, that's the noun form here, something that's very small, and miniatures may seem to be quaint and of small importance at first glance. When you first look at them, that's what at first glance means. To glance means to just kind of look at something casually. You kind of see it by accident, sort
mm-hmm.
of. You don't really concentrate on it just yet. You caught a glance of something downtown. You saw somebody you recognized. You caught a glance of them, but you didn't really see them clearly. And so that's at first glance. And here we're describing this as being quaint. Miniatures seem to be quaint, which are very unusual and old-fashioned, but they're very attractive because of that.
That's right. Notice here we're using sort of a different grammar structure when we say and of small importance. Here we're taking an adjective important and turning it into a noun. So you have to say something of importance. Or you could say miniatures may seem to be quaint and not very important. You could also turn it into the phrase like that. We're going to see this grammar structure throughout this article and even in some following days where we have these lessons. So look for that. Now, at first glance, like Tom said, just means when you first see it, you first consider something. Notice it's at first glance. Glance is a quick look. But the first time you see it, oh, you might think, oh, they're kind of cute. They're old-fashioned looking. They are very unusual, but they're attractive. Well, this art style has both historical significance. Significance just means importance. So it's important in a historical way. It was important for history. It also says here that miniatures have a unique or very special aesthetic value. Aesthetic means relating to art or beauty. So they have a special artistic value or beauty to them.
Indeed. So they have historical significance. They might teach us a thing or two about the past.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're pretty cool to look at. They're beautiful. Who doesn't like to look at beautiful things? Well, before the invention of photography, accurate portraits on a small scale were essential as forms of identification, much like today's photo IDs. So these were in the days before photography. Some of you might remember that far back. There was a time when we just couldn't take pictures. If you wanted an image of something, you had to actually draw that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You had to hire a painter or something like that. So if you needed some kind of ID, a photo ID, you know, if they asked you for, you know, photo IDs at the store, oh, well, you can't use your credit card without a photo ID. And if you didn't have a camera, well, you had to rely on some kind of very accurate portrait. So here it's saying that accurate portraits on a small scale were essential. Accurate means very, very precise with lots of details and correct in all details.
Mm-hmm. And a portrait is a painting or drawing or even a photograph of a person that usually just shows their head and shoulders area. It's not a full length picture that you're looking at. So these were accurate. They looked kind of like the person that they were painting. They're on a small scale. Scale here refers to size. So they were very small in size. They were essential or very, very important. You had to have them. They were necessary. As forms of identification, identification can refer to something that just shows or tells somebody who that person is. Nowadays, we use our Shenfenzheng, which is our ID card. In America, we tend to use our driver's license as forms of ID.
Right. It's often shortened to ID, identification.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, most of us today have photo IDs or some form of identification that has a picture of us in there.
Mm-hmm.
And many wealthy families would exchange portrait miniatures of their sons and daughters during the arrangement of marriage. So rich families, wealthy families, their sons and daughters were getting married to another family with a son or daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, as some sort of tradition, they would exchange these portrait miniatures of their sons. So these are portraits, yes, but a portrait usually is quite large. Again, these are miniatures, maybe the size of a small photograph or the size of your ID photo, and they would exchange them. Here you go. Here's a picture of our beloved daughter. Oh, here's a picture of our beloved son.
Artists who could work small, who could produce these very small-sized portraits, were ever in demand. Were ever in demand just means always very popular. If you're in demand, it means a lot of people want what you have to offer. Maybe it's a service or something that you make. Sometimes when new Nike tennis shoes come out, basketball sneakers, they're in demand.
Hmm.
A lot of the young boys want them. They were especially in demand, especially from book printers. Printers who produce books wanted these people who could produce these very small pictures because they wanted to make their volumes, their different books, precious with exquisite illustrations. Exquisite means very, very finely done or made, quite beautiful. Requires a lot of artistic talent. And an illustration is a picture or a drawing in a book or a magazine.
Indeed. And again, back before the days of photography, books were put out. They were published. And, of course, sometimes they would include illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you've seen some reproductions of the old illustrated newspapers from the 1800s,
yeah.
Of course, they didn't have photography, or at least they couldn't put photographs in those newspapers. So, my goodness, they had some really exquisite illustrations in them. They're really a wonder to look at, especially from newspapers from that period.
You know, even today, if you ever look at the Apple Daily newspaper here in Taiwan, they'll often have illustrations of
right.
crime stories, you know, that are pretty bloody and gory. If someone gets killed, they'll have an illustrator draw what they think the scene looked like. Those are illustrations, too.
They often make those illustrations using the computer, CGI images there. But in any case here, yes, these illustrators were in demand because those publishers, those printers wanted lots of precious, exquisite illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we talked a lot about illustration here, but that's just basically some image that gives you an idea of what the text is all about. I think of illustrations as opposed to photographs. They're a little different, although photographs do illustrate things in articles.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we are going to go ahead and take a short break right now, guys, and then we'll be back to continue talking about fine art in the palm of your hand.
Hi, everyone. My name's Jillian. 今天我们要来看的是第三单元。这一课要讨论的是一种很特别的艺术形态，称为袖珍艺术，英文就是 miniature art。首先在第一段提到 Miniatures may seem to be quaint and of small importance at first glance, but the art style has both historical significance and unique aesthetic value. 袖珍模型乍看之下似乎是古雅奇特又不是很重要，但是它的艺术风格既有历史的重要性，也有独特的美学价值。首先这里我们就先看到一个文法点，就是抽象名词的用法。抽象名词指的是没有具体形状，用来表示性质、状态、动作、疾病或者是学科等等的抽象名词。那我们会视为是不可数名词，也没有复数形。常见的句型为 of 加上抽象名词作为形容词用。例如 of no use 就等于 not useful。Of great wealth 就等于 very wealthy， 以及课文当中所提到的 of small importance 就是指它的重要性很小，意思就是不太重要。而这样的用法也出现在第二段当中的最后一句，句子提到把这么多精巧的细节放在这样小小空间的技术，正是袖珍模型富含惊奇与价值的原因。句子里也用到这样的句型Of abundant wonder and value， 意思就是指 very wonderful and valuable。 接着我们来看第一段的最后一句， Artists who could work small were ever in demand， especially from book printers who wanted to make their volumes precious with exquisite illustrations。 能够创作小型物件的艺术家们一向很受欢迎，尤其是想让自己的书册上因为有精致的插图而珍贵的印刷商们特别需要他们。句子中我们有看到 demand 这个字，这个单字可以用来做名词以及动词使用，意思都是指要求。而片语 in demand 就是指受到需要的， in great demand 就是指需求量很大。那么还有一个衍生字就是 demanding， 用来做形容词使用，意思是指苛求的，用 demanding 来造一个句子。Being a good athlete is very physically demanding， 意思是说要成为一位好的运动员是非常苛求身材的。句子中还有另外一个单字就是 exquisite， 这个形容词有两个主要的意思。第一个是指精美的或是制作精良的，也是本课课文当中的定义。而另外一个意思可以指敏锐的或是细致的。我们再举个例子，例如我们要说他在公寓的装潢上面展现了细致的品味，英文句子就可以说 He displayed exquisite taste in the decoration of his apartment.
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Let's continue with our lesson for today. Again, we're talking about miniatures, and in the first part, we talked about miniature portraits that used to be popular. But later on, of course, cameras changed that need. While the flashbulbs of cameras dimmed much of the luster of miniature art, there are many little paintings, bite-sized models, and super small statues still fascinating many enthusiasts. So yes, when cameras came along, they kind of eliminated the need for those miniature portraits as forms of identification, but still, miniatures still live on in different forms. First of all, we're talking about flash bulbs of cameras. Flash bulbs are, I think it's an old form of flash photography. Nowadays, we use flash units or flash guns, stuff like that. But these are bulbs. I remember my parents had the old Kodak Instamatic cameras with the bulb on them. You could get four flashes per bulb.
And it was then a cube.
Yeah, cube, the flash cube, actually.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you'd have to throw that away and get a new one. Here, they dimmed the luster of miniature art. So dimming something just means to make something less bright. Dim the lights in the room, for example, before the show begins. And luster here just means the attractive aesthetics of something. The luster in this particular case means basically the value of something in terms of aesthetics.
Yeah, but typically if you see this word luster, it's talking about the very shiny quality of a surface that's reflecting light. Maybe the diamond ring that you're wearing has a lot of luster to it. Or you're wearing a dress with sequins that sparkle and shine. It has a lot of luster. Here we're not using it literally. We're just talking about something becoming less popular, less appealing, and that's the miniature art. Well, there are a lot of little paintings that were made back then. They were bite-sized models. I love how they use this, bite-sized. Usually, if you see bite-sized, it's an adjective that precedes a noun, which is some sort of food, like a bite-sized dessert or bite-sized cookie, just a tiny little piece that you can pop into your mouth. Well, these were really small. It's kind of a cute way to describe these small miniature pictures. We also were talking about some super small statues that still are fascinating to many enthusiasts. If something's fascinating, it really draws your attention. You just can't get enough of it. It's very interesting to you and appealing to you. An enthusiast is a person, and it's simply another word for a fan. If you really like something, you're an enthusiast. So you have a lot of enthusiasm for something. You enjoy it a lot. I could say my brothers are all golf enthusiasts. They love golf.
There are lots of bicycle enthusiasts here in Taiwan as well. You see bikes all over the place on the weekends. And a typical definition of this kind of artwork is any fine art that is no greater than 1/6 its natural size.
Wow.
So that's a fraction there, 1/6. If it's 1/6 or smaller than its natural size, then it is considered miniature art. That's the definition of this kind of artwork, miniature artwork.
I didn't know there was a definition. That's interesting.
I'm wondering who came up with this definition. The World Art Council, if there is such a thing. But in any case, a definition is a statement of the exact meaning of something. A definition of a word, for example. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm giving you the definition of the word definition.
It's pretty small. You know, even 1/2 the size is pretty small. 1/6 is really tiny, especially if you start with a regular sized object being quite small to begin with. Now, despite requiring less material, you don't need as much to produce these little miniatures, obviously. These works can take longer to produce than their regular sized inspirations. I mentioned before we started that my mom used to make dolls' clothes for my Barbie dolls. She could sew clothes very well. It always took a lot longer to make Barbie doll clothes than it did a dress for me because it's so tiny. It takes a lot of patience. You can't see things very well. You're sewing very tiny seams. The material is tiny. Even to cut it out is hard. So I can see how it takes a lot more skill to produce these miniatures than regular size pieces of art.
Indeed. So that's the definition here. 1/6 or less of its original natural size.
Mm-hmm.
Despite requiring less material, they take longer to produce. than their regular-sized inspirations. So here, inspiration is what gives you the desire or motivation to do something.
Or the idea to create something.
Right. Yeah. So maybe you see a scene, maybe you look at Taipei 101, that's your inspiration, and you think, I'd like to make Taipei 101 in miniature. Maybe make it so it could fit inside of my fingernail or something like that.
Wow.
So, of course, yes, despite, even though you don't need a lot of material, still you got to have lots of patience and a lot of time to do what you want to do in miniature.
Now, the technique of putting so much delicate detail, delicate here just refers to something being very carefully done or beautifully made. You have to take a lot of time because you have such a small space. That's what makes miniatures of abundant wonder and value. Notice here we're using that same grammar structure of abundant wonder and value. So I could turn this around and just say what makes miniatures wonderful and valuable. So take those nouns, wonder and value, and turn them into adjectives. Abundant here is one of our vocabulary words. It just means existing in very large amounts. So there's a lot of wonder to these miniatures, and they're very, very valuable.
Now, let's move on to the final paragraph here. It says, there are a number of enthralling miniatures museums around the world. Enthralling here just means that it captures your attention, you're fascinated by it. So yes, indeed, one of these museums is in Chicago at the Art Institute of Chicago. It's called the Thorne Miniature Rooms. So there's more than just one room there. If you're in Chicago, check this thing out if you're into miniatures. And these rooms delight visitors with recreations of European and American home interiors. A recreation of something just means you're creating it again. This does look like the word recreation, actually. That's when you go out and have fun. But recreation is different here, as I said, to make something, make a copy of something.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got these rooms there in Chicago. They're European and American home interiors that they've recreated from the 13th century to the 1930s. Oh, that would be so cool. Interiors here just refers to the inner part of something. This is the inside of a house that we're referring to, the home interiors. Well, in Taipei, it's a little closer. You can go to the Miniatures Museum of Taiwan. It opened back in 1997. I want to go there. I didn't even know we had one. It was the first of its kind in Asia. So it was kind of very special that they opened it. There wasn't one found in Japan or Korea. We were the first.
Yeah.
It's got over 200 items on display that visitors can go and look at. The items include dollhouses.
Yeah.
Girls would love that. Like I said earlier, my grandpa built me a dollhouse when I was a kid. Loved that. It was one of my favorite things. They also have room boxes, so you can look at different rooms.
It's kind of like a diorama, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And it is a great place to enjoy the magnificent beauty in some tiny treasures. So magnificent here, well, that's a word that means impressively beautiful. It's elaborate. It's extravagant. It's exciting. It's striking. And I did want to say that I have been to this museum before. It's a great museum. It's on Jianguo Nanlu, Jianguo South Road somewhere. I can't remember exactly where, kind of near Guanghua Market, sort of.
Oh, okay.
But in any case, I thought it was great. It was really wonderful. But there is one small complaint I have.
What?
I was expecting to see miniatures of things in Taiwan, like, the Presidential Palace or the Chiang Kai-shek Memorial Hall or maybe traditional Taiwanese houses. They didn't really have that stuff. It was mostly of, like, Western and maybe some Japanese stuff. So I hope they someday put some things that are more related to Taiwan in there. I'd love to go again. But in any case, it's a great place to enjoy these doll houses and room boxes and the magnificent beauty in these tiny treasures.
So if you enjoy beautiful homes and everyday objects in the real world that are life-sized, you could say, why not give the dazzling world of miniatures a try? If it's dazzling, it's almost so bright you can't look at it. That's the literal definition of dazzling. The dazzling can also be used to talk about something that really impresses you because it's really attractive or exciting. If you see a great show, it can be dazzling. So we hope you all get a chance to at least go check out Taiwan's version of this miniatures museum. And if you are in Chicago, check out the Thorn Miniature Rooms. That sounds like a great place as well.
That's my first place to go the next time I go to Chicago. So, hey, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Thank you for listening. But, hey, don't turn off your radio just yet. We still have to hear from the Chinese teacher.
接着我们来看第二段第一句的后半段。这里课文提到许多小型画作、小尺寸模型和超迷你的雕像依然吸引许多的爱好者。这里的爱好者课文用到 enthusiast 这个单字。那么这个单字还有一个形容词的衍生字就是 enthusiastic， 用来表示热衷的。这个单字常与 about 搭配，所以片语 be enthusiastic about 就是指对于什么什么非常的热衷。那我们来造个句子， The students were really enthusiastic about their field trip， 意思是说学生们对他们的校外教学非常的热衷。接着我们来看第二段倒数第二句， It takes a great amount of skill and patience to create quality miniature art， 要打造优良的袖珍艺术需要许多的技术与耐心。这里我们看到一个片语A great amount of 是一个不定数量形容词，只能放在不可数名词的前面加以修饰，表示大量的。相反词为 a small amount of。那么再以片语 a great amount of 来造一个句子，例如我们要说，携带旅行支票比携带大量的现金来得安全。英文句子就可以说 ，Travelers' checks are safer to carry than a great amount of cash。句子当中我们还有看到另外一个字就是 quality， 这个单字通常同学看到都是用来当名词使用，表示品质，而这个单字也可以做形容词用，表示优质的或是优良的。例如我们要说那所大学因优良的师资而享有盛名，句子就可以说 The university has a reputation for quality teachers。 接着第三段第二句有提到芝加哥艺术博物馆内的索恩夫人娃娃屋已重现西元13世纪到1930年代欧美家庭的内部样貌，使得游客惊喜连连。在句子中我们有看到一个动词就是 delight， 这个动词呢就同等于 please， 使某人感到快乐。 delight A with B 就是指用 B 使 A 感到高兴。那如果用被动句的讲法，Be delighted with something 就是指对什么什么感到高兴。那么再举一个例子， Jenny's parents were delighted with her excellent grades， 意思是说 Jenny 的父母对于她的优异成绩感到很高兴。最后我们请同学再注意一下 recreation 这个单字，它有两个意思。第一个，如果要表示重现什么什么的样貌，我们必须念作 recreation。第二个，如果是用来表示消遣或者是娱乐，那么这个单字的念法必须念作 recreation。
That brings us to the end of our program for today. Thank you so much for watching, and please make sure you join us again next time. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.